I just wanted to say when they walked by the casket, hey, he's moving.
He's moving upstairs.
Yeah, moving upstairs. Yep, yep. Well, you know, Tom, this morning we'll talk about, it would be people say, well, what's the world coming to?
Mm-hmm.
What's the world coming to?
Boy, I ask that about every 5 minutes. Every time I hear a newscast.
Every five minutes.
What in the heck is going on here?
No doubt. But one thing for sure, Tom, it's a highly competitive world.
Oh, it is.
It's highly competitive. I was telling you earlier about a loaner. I had a 2020 Ford Equinox, I guess. Mm-hmm. Drove it back from Tulsa, a loaner, and that thing had more bells and whistles than I'd even know what to do with. I was kind of concerned about getting out of Tulsa alive.
People looking at that thing going,
that'd be a good car
good
to
ride,
to
huh?
up. Yeah.
Those are nice rides. They're very comfortable.
Yeah, they really are. Mm-hmm. But Tom, we live in a highly competitive world, and it all revolves around what we see is the will and the power of mortal man.
Yeah.
Just what you've done this weekend, working in the yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably accomplished quite a bit.
Well, for a man my age, I did.
Well, I know you're probably hitting close to 45 or 50.
Yeah, that was a ways back, but thank you.
And you did play some baseball, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Pro ball?
I got asked, and I went to the camp, but I stayed for a cup of coffee and went home. It didn't last long. You know, you can be the biggest one on the block, but the block gets bigger and the block gets bigger. Next thing you know, you're with everybody else who's the biggest on the block.
Well, I had a cousin who tried out one of those sports camps, baseball camps.
Yeah.
You know, he faced the toughest pitcher it tried out, and that guy just zipped it by him, and he didn't move. He didn't have a chance to move, but the guys on the bench said, man, you hung right in there. But he said, I didn't tell him. I didn't know to move. It just so fast, I couldn't move.
I could hear it, but I could not see it.
I could not see it.
Boom, as it cut through the wind.
But, you know, as we mature and I'm not going to say grow older, but as we get older.
As we become more seasoned.
More seasoned, more mature, prime time. You know, we have all these concepts and plans. I mean, as a child, we dream about being maybe, if I'm a little girl, a queen or a princess. If I'm a little boy, a warrior, you know, something like that. And we have all that. And these concepts and plans, they follow us through life.
They do.
And what happens is a lot of times, they're unfulfilled.
More times than not.
More times than not. But the good news is, Tom, that usually it's for our benefit when they're not fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's the hidden benefit. You know, that second thing, the thing you didn't even know was going to be your destiny. It's like, wow, that was it all along.
Wow. And you know, what we do as humans, even though we have these concepts and plans and they begin as a child, we get to the point where we want to take the easy way out.
Oh, yeah.
We want to take the convenient method. Now, we want the convenient answer. And I don't think there's any convenient answers in this world.
No, there aren't.
And so what happens is I become dependent upon maybe how society is molding me into the person they want me to be.
Got to watch out for that, son.
Drive the brand new Chevy?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with driving a brand new Chevy.
No, and we got to plug Dungy's family of autos, drive the brand new Toyota or Ford. I mean, I know they have all the bells and whistles also.
Yeah.
But what happens is in this highly competitive world, what do we say, dog eat dog? What are some of the other phrases?
When you make it your quest.
Yeah, when you make it your quest.
That's where things get all turned around, isn't it?
That really is, Tom. And we get into a highly competitive stress cycle.
Oh, boy. Got to have this. Got to do that. Must be there. Must be seen. Must be heard.
And we always have a loan officer out there willing to take our application.
Yes, indeed. More than willing in some cases.
More than willing, if you're willing to pay the price.
Uh-huh.
So it's a highly competitive stress, and it's also a highly competitive, it's involved highly competitive aging.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ages people, put all that stress, all these burdens on them, and it just, our body's not made to carry these levels of burdens.
No, I don't think so either.
But we try to carry them. And what happens is that dictates my schedule. Huh. What am I going to do? How can I get ahead?
When your schedule controls you instead of you controlling the schedule, there's another problem here.
That's it. And if I'm trying to get ahead, that means I must be behind. That tells me.
Because you're not running even.
You're not running even. So, you know, say I'm making $50,000 a year. Well, I want to live as if I'm making $100,000 a year.
Yeah, okay.
And if I'm making $100,000 a year, I want to live like I'm making $250,000 a year.
But when is enough enough?
It never is. Mm-hmm. It never is. And the motto that we sometimes, and probably more times than not, we take is whatever it takes to get ahead.
When you're saying whatever, there are things on the table you probably didn't ever think were going to be on the table.
No. And sometimes the church world gets involved in that, Tom.
They do.
They want to create all these substitutes to make it look like they are ahead. Mm-hmm. That they're setting the pace. Mm-hmm. But are they?
Mm. You know, when you're in the race to have the loudest band, the biggest presentation, the baptismal that looks like an Olympic swimming pool. I'm not saying I've seen. No. I'm just saying I've seen.
No. And it's very, it can be very stressful to the people, to the pastor, and they lose the vision of what it's all about. And it's easy to do here in America. I mean, I'm not condemning anyone. It's so easy to allow ourselves.
Do what? To get caught up in things.
To get caught up in it, yeah. And we kind of reason in ourselves, well, you know, if one more soul gets saved, or, you know, we have more part. I know I was talking to a gentleman one time. He said, I'm not going to give this church. They want to pave their parking lot so the women won't scuff their heels. Well, I can't blame the women. I wouldn't want to walk across gravel, but still.
No, yeah.
You know, it's how we approach this highly competitive, stressful, aging world. How am I going to approach this thing? You know, I see cars going down Frank Phillips right now, and every one of them is carrying some type of stress, some type of burden. They represent burdens and stress.
You see some with just a scuff. You see some with a crinkle. And then you see something that's all ended up like a soda pop can, yet
exactly.
They're still on the same road as we are, and they're carrying that burden.
They are. You know, I heard a Christian physician, she was breaking down the mind and how it relates to the Word of God, and she said, you know, there's three levels of stress. And she said the first level of stress, it's really good. That's the motivation to get you out of bed in the morning to come to work and do what you need to do. But she said if you get into that second level, you might want to kind of reevaluate your life because you may be heading to the third level, which is definitely not good.
No. That third level is make you
put him on the medication.
Put him on the medication.
Put him in the straitjacket. Uh-huh. So we got this highly competitive world, and our vision, you might say, Tom, at Wellspring Clinic is to transcend the norm, transcend the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
I think it is.
You think it is?
Well, yeah, if you have the right teaching and if you're open to learn.
That's it. And it's a hard, and we've talked about this in weeks gone by, but it's a hard concept to grasp.
It is.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, poor in spirit, that means I have to be willing to give up everything. My new Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
My nice building.
Mm-hmm.
All that. That's a consternation. It's something that really, it's hard for even the most mature Christian to do.
It is.
Because we're so stuck in tradition. You know what Brother Bill's doing? What Saint Marie's doing? Now we want to try to at least not get ahead, but keep up with them. Like you say,
in some way, shape, or form, yeah, I see that they want to remain competitive in their world.
They do, and anytime I want to be competitive, I'm I've got my focus off the person who is very, there was no competition in him whatsoever. He said he became of no reputation. Mm-hmm. I like to guard my reputation, Tom. Uh-huh. I mean, I could say things to you, you could say things to me, and we would totally offend each other.
We haven't done that.
We haven't done that.
I can't see the day when we're ever going to do it either.
But, you know, there's little tongue slips that we say to people close to us, and we think, you know, I probably really shouldn't have said that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to make myself look good or make myself look right. I heard one man say, you know, in a relationship with my wife, I've decided I can either be right or be happy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jesus, he became of no reputation. Mm-hmm. That, every day you have something coming at you that you want to prove your worth. You know, you had to basically prove your worth when you hired on here at K1.
Oh, yeah. Very competitive.
Very competitive. It was, you had to prove you were knowledgeable, prove you had experience. All the fine-tuned areas of a good broadcaster. But the most important thing, and I believe you have this, Tom, one of the most important things to work with is integrity.
You like to, you got to keep that.
You got to keep that because, you know,
it keeps you.
It keeps you. Yeah. Because the smallest, you know, slip of the tongue, the smallest, maybe, well, I'll take this here, no one will know it, or I'll plug in this here, and you know, I'll give someone some favoritism. That, you know, people start seeing through that.
Well, what really hurts is when you know it and you start feeling it, and you know you're guilty of it. It really starts weighing on you.
That's it, Tom. And you hit the nail on the head. You know, this past weekend, I thought, you know, we say we're not under the law, but really we are.
We are.
And people say, well, that's legalism. Well, driving to Tulsa is legalism. You have to keep the legal speed limit.
Yes.
And there's legalism in the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. But we have to be found faithful within the legalism before he can take us outside the legalism and walk by faith. What am I doing with my relationship? Am I honoring God with my relationship, mm-hmm. or am I honoring what I want? What am I doing? What am I doing to prove that I can be faithful to the boundaries? We talked about boundaries.
Oh, yeah,
faithful
several times.
In the boundaries, so I can be faithful outside the boundaries. And it's very simple. I mean, it may hit you like a brick wall, Tom, but I really believe the law is given as a babysitter. To babysit us until we get to the point where it's like, wow, I need to start doing things right. I need to start being faithful in these areas with my tongue, with my finances, with my relationships. Mm-hmm. And God says, okay, you've been proven faithful. Now let me give you a little bit beyond that. Let me give you a little bit beyond that, Noah. Let me give you a little bit beyond that, Abel, Enoch, Abraham. I mean, God just doesn't pile everything on us all of a sudden. Would you do that with a child?
No, a child wouldn't know what to do with it. Neither would we.
Sometimes we don't. But here in America, we have so much that we can really take our eyes off of what's important, and we don't really want to cease from our own labor, our own works, because that's what we're used to. Mm-hmm. That's natural. That is normal. But as far as the Lord's concerned, that's insufficient funds. Have you ever got a notice from the bank that you had insufficient funds?
Oh, when I was in college, yeah.
Well, you know, the insufficient funds are only substitutes we use, even as Christians. You know, I want to prove, we need to prove our worth. We need to prove that we are stable and faithful. Well, sometimes those are just insufficient funds. But God has a high accountability to holiness. It's high accountability. God has a special place, what he calls his holy nation. Mm-hmm. Abraham pegged it. He said he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Man, how can I look for a city or a country, anything greater than America? I mean, this is it, Tom.
It is right now.
But if I make this my home, then I'm going to get my eye off the vision, off the goal, mm-hmm. off where I need to be going. Mm-hmm. It's just a journey. And it's like I told the people Sunday. I said, you know, let's line up and go down the hallway, and I want everyone to be totally silent. And they looked at me like, totally silent? Yeah. I said, totally silent, because the Bible says that the wise hear and will increase learning. I said, there's wisdom in what we're talking about in holiness, and just pretend we're walking down this hall, but it's actually a jungle. And to the right, you got vipers. To the left, you got thieves. And you have all these things coming at you, and you can't afford to hardly even breathe. But here in America, we just have our mouth, our opinions, our knowledge and experience. That kind of dictates who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't dictate who God wants us to be.
No.
God has a higher calling than that for us, Tom. And what happens is, I tell you what, Peter, you know, we want to protect our reputation. We want to protect the reputation of our friend. I mean, if someone said something about you to me that was negative, I'd say, that's not the Tom I know. Well, he sleeps in all the time, and he comes into work late. I said, really? That's not the Tom I know.
No, we actually see each other before we come into work. We're neighbors. We know when each other comes and goes.
Well, that's what Peter tried to do. He tried to protect the person's reputation that didn't need his reputation protected. Jesus told him, hey, Peter, I'm going to basically go to the cross.
Yeah.
And Peter goes, no, Master, you're not. You're not. I'm not going to allow that. And you know what? You know what Jesus told him? Get thee behind me, Satan. That's a pretty bold statement, telling a friend, get thee behind me, Satan. But he wasn't talking to Peter. Mm-hmm. He was talking to that spirit that was controlling Peter.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that we understand that we need to, and the Bible says, you need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And it's hard. That's hard. You know, we have people sometimes at the clinic, they kind of want to infuse their own opinion. You know, it's not bad to have our opinions, but once you know that you know that you know, you want people to listen and learn so they can have the tools to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed, Tom, a lot of people don't want to listen and learn. They don't want to rebuke. You know, the Bible says, and this is kind of a strong statement, but the Bible says, he who refuses instruction, it's grievous, but if he refuses instruction, here's what the Bible says he's a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to recognize that rebuke, that correction is so vital to get us out of this highly competitive world into a kingdom that is basically almost untapped. Jesus said, don't you know, he's telling the disciples, don't you know, little flock, that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? And I thought that to myself when I was driving home from Tulsa in that brand new Equinox. You know, it wasn't mine as a loaner, but I thought to myself, you know, God places you in situations. I didn't plan it that way.
No.
I mean, I thought a loaner would be something, wouldn't even hardly get me out of Tulsa. Somehow put gas in and tires on before, but it wasn't that way. God gives you the best if we give him our best.
Uh-huh.
And we have to do it with our relationships, with our finances, with our time, with our speech. And it's a whole ball of wax. And before we continue on, Tom, I think we have a couple sponsors.
Yes, we do. At least one anyway.
K&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Service Care can help you with all of your lawn care needs this year. They have a repair shop located at 605 North Osage Avenue in Dewey to work on your lawnmowers. They can also order parts for you if you want to work on it yourself, and offer free pickup and delivery service for Dewey and Bartlesville city limit customers. If you don't have the equipment or just don't have the time, their lawn mowing crew would love to help you take care of your lawn so that you can do other things with your extra time. For free quotes for lawn care services, call 918-534-8045 or text 918-766-1191 for more information or pickup. Find them on Facebook, K&M Small Engine Repair and Lawn Service.
And we're back. It's 9:50.
And Tom, we talked about Peter, how we have these spirits that must be, and what the Lord told Moses, they have to be driven out of the land. Well, that also tells me they have to be driven out of our life because I'm so accustomed to these spirits that's controlling me. And how can I even say that if I can't see these spirits? Mm-hmm. But that tells me that there's something that needs to be driven out of my life that's competing against God. There's six different spirits. Now, I won't get into them now, but there's things that I need.
Oh, keep me hanging.
Yeah. Well, the first spirit is the spirit of the Amorite.
Yes.
And that's the one that challenges a person in authority. You know, said, well, you know, I don't believe that, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're speaking the truth, the Lord will give you a follow-up, or he'll tell you to be quiet, or he'll do like Jesus and just rebuke that spirit. Well, you know, when Jesus rebuked that spirit in Peter, after Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and went to his Father in heaven, Peter said, "Be ye holy as he is holy." And I thought, you know, there's Peter, rebuked by Jesus, but he's the one who says, "Be holy." I thought, God, and like you and I talked a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. I can't be that holy. I mean, I have my natural tendencies, the things I want to do, the places I want to go, that's just, you know, I want my agenda. But God says, no. He says, here's your agenda for the day, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Blank sheet of paper.
A blank sheet of paper. Let me write what your agenda is. Well, I'm not really helping you, Lord. Now you're getting a clue. You know, you're of no reputation. You're poor in spirit. So now you got to depend upon me totally. Really? Yep. Peter could say, hey, be ye holy for I am holy. I can't be holy, Tom. I have to wait on him to infuse holiness in me, because I know my nature. I know things I've done in the past, things I want to do in the future, probably not so good. So I think, Lord, I need to wait on you so you will infuse me with this holiness. And as he does that, it not only affects me, but it affects those around me.
It does.
And that's not a natural concept. I want to produce. I want to do this. I want to serve. I want to work. And God, be still. And know that I'm God. That's hard, Eddie. You're right, Kurt. But cease from your own labor. Cease from your own labor and enter into my labor of rest. You think, well, I don't really want to rest that way. You have to, Kurt. You have to hear my voice if you're going to do what I've called you to do in this generation in which you live.
I said, well, you got lucky to be in this generation, didn't you?
Oh, man.
Understatement, huh?
That's an understatement. And, Tom, really, the place where I can withdraw from this highly competitive world, this highly competitive Kurt, this Kurt that wants to do his own thing, all these things, all these personal agendas, people asking to do this and that, the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I thought to myself, you know, you say you want me to dwell there, Lord. How will I get anything done? Just watch and see. You know, you know when I go to the clinic and no one's there, and yes, find that quiet place. Well, now the Reverend Billy Graham said one time, they said, Reverend Graham, if you could change anything in your life, what would you change? And he said, I'd have more quiet time with God.
I bet he would. Mm-hmm. Now he has it.
So what we look for at the clinic are people who want to be wise-hearted. Mm-hmm. Moses looked out over the children of Israel, and he picked out those who were wise-hearted, those who were willing to cease from their own labor and enter into the rest of God. And he picked out a fellow named Bezalel, spelled Bezaleel. He basically, him and his wise-hearted team, they basically built and furnished the temple. I mean, God's holy temple, they basically built it and furnished it. You can read about it in Exodus. But man, this guy must be a wise man. Why did God tell Moses to choose this man? And I got out my Strong's Concordance. It breaks down the Greek and the Hebrew, and I wanted to see what his name meant. Well, it means shadow, God's protection. He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High shall abide under shadow of the Almighty.
He was uniquely qualified.
He was able to find that quiet time with the Lord so God can instruct him. I mean, being still, Tom, that doesn't mean I'm not doing anything.
No.
It just means I'm getting instruction for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
There's times that you have stuff up here that you need to be instructed on because you have so many different things coming at you. Okay, how do I approach this? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do? And you have to be instructed. Well, God will do the same thing with us if we're willing to listen. And I believe we have Aaron's performance I'd like to plug real
quick. Let's do that.
Because he's just a fine auto mechanic, and he's knowledgeable.
You need a guy like that. Everybody needs a guy like that.
Yeah, knowledgeable. He has experience, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's just a fine man. But the thing about Aaron is he has integrity. He will tell you if it's something he can fix, and he will give you a great price. I mean, I'm proof in the pudding. I mean, there are things that other shops going to charge me several hundred dollars more. But he said, Kurt, I can do it for this amount here because here's how much I charge for labor and here's how much the part is. So if a person is looking for a great auto mechanic, they can call Aaron at 440-9754. That's 440-9754. And he's right across from AFC on the highway, the glass company, right across the there, probably about on the Dewey line, I would say. So,
okay.
So Aaron's a fine, fine person. But Tom, what we need in this day and age are people who are willing to be wise-hearted. And that doesn't come overnight.
No, it doesn't. That takes a little while.
It takes a little while, but the benefits are beyond this world. I want to seek a kingdom that it's not tapped into the temporal. It's not tapped into my senses, but it's tapped into the power of God. And I ask this question, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. Is power holiness or is holiness power?
Holiness would be power.
Yep, holiness is power. And I don't see a lot of power out there, Tom. I see a lot of substitutes. I see a lot of pretty exterior whatevers, but God is working and building a holy nation, people who are not afraid to stand the ground for God's holiness. And if I can do that, Tom, then I can love my neighbor as myself. I have no reputation. Everything falls back on God. So no matter what takes place, I can function in that realm. I can forgive those who hurt me. I can forgive myself. Sometimes that's hard.
That might be the hardest thing in the world. For a lot of people, it really is.
And I really appreciate you having me on this morning, Tom, and talking about the highly competitive world and how to break free and to do all the things that God has called us. But I have to first understand that there's a world out there that wants to keep me bound, but I have to have a deliberate mentality, say, no, I'm not going to be bound to this world anymore. I'm going to grow and go beyond this world. And so Jesus can tell me, hey, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom.
Wow.
And you think his kingdom's any greater than what we see outside this world?
I have no idea. I can't even fathom.
So I think to myself, you know, we have all these things. I know we just got a minute left, but we have all these great things that this world offers. So his world, I would have to believe, if he created all these things, would have to be so much better.
Infinitely better.
And if someone wants to contact me, Tom, they can. 918-397-0284. 397-0284. They can reach me at, I'm at 132. We're at 132 Southeast Chalwell. 132 Southeast Chalwell, just south of RX Express. Like I say, I really appreciate you having me on this morning.
Well, it's always great to have you, Kurt, and thank you very much for sharing with us today. And if you want to know more, just give a little ring to Kurt and be ready to open up, be still, and learn a little something. Time now for the news.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM.